buckled up. Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yours truly, Big Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair. Today, alongside Mike Flynn in the Mass chair. We also have Marshall Hook alongside as well in my normal spot, chiming in and handling the Sports Hub headlines. Hook, it's been a minute since you and I have worked together. I think it's only been once. Spot duty. You got called like a Sunday morning a couple of summers ago.
He means you.
Me or Hook?
Flynn. I'm sorry.
I was going to say,
Hook, I see
I don't
all
think
the
we've
time.
Ever worked together except for once.
Yeah, just
spot
once.
Duty in the summer.
Spot duty in a
they pulled
couple of
you
summers
off,
ago.
You know, I think Johnson was going hiking or something or see the earth and he pulled you off the.
It was way down the depth chart.
Rolodex.
Well, it's good to see you, buddy.
No, thanks for having me in the afternoon drive. I rarely work the afternoon drive, and it's not because of TV, because I do the morning a lot. It's just I never do the afternoon, and I don't think the other two boats was here are as fond of me as you are. So,
oh, I don't know about that.
Maybe
maybe
that's
you're just
it?
Feeling self-conscious about that. Yeah.
No, why would I do that?
Well, either way, I'm glad you're here. This is one of my favorite days on the sports calendar. I'm not like super into the NCAA tournament, but I will tell you right off the bat, I'm going to probably have a difficult time paying all that much attention over the next 4 hours because I do have the one thing I do like about the tournament is I mentally find teams that I want to root against just for the sports schadenfreude aspect of it, so I can enjoy the
you
pain.
Gamble?
No, I don't.
No.
I haven't gambled or done a bracket in probably 3 or 4 years now. But you put me in a bar surrounded by a bunch of people that are rooting for a team. Well, now I'm rooting against that team. If I hear you're gambling on a certain team, you're pulling for it because they're your alma mater. Well, now I'm rooting against that team.
Well, that's any situation. I love that. I love the tears of somebody when you don't have
that's
a dog.
Best.
That is actually better than, you know, buying in, patting people on the back and getting a big win with people you don't you want the loss.
The other thing I also refuse to get into is, well, you have to root for the New England team. You have to, Jim. Because you're a New Englander. Don't you get it? Why wouldn't you pull for old little Rhodey here up against Oklahoma today? Or why wouldn't you pull for Providence? No, I don't believe in that. I didn't go to those schools. I don't have any skin in the game. So now I'm going to root against them. So this is we're in the second half here of this Rhode Island game, so I have to also kind of pay attention to root against Rhode Island.
Yeah, but you're from Melrose, though. Shouldn't your like allegiance to all things home, what it goes as far north as what Lynn, and then maybe into the city. I mean, if you were to be sentimental about something, which you are not, you're not a sentimental kid, but to have those sentimental things reach all the way down the Rhode Island, does it make any sense to
you? No, it doesn't. But even if it was UMass, I wouldn't root for them. Again, I didn't go to any of these schools. BC, over my dead body, would I ever root for them. So
well,
even if there was a Massachusetts school in there, I would not be rooting for them. Be that as it may.
I happily root against all 64 teams because then I get to bathe in the tears of 63 fan bases.
See, that's that.
It's terrific that way.
No, there's standards, right? And I saw this on Twitter. Syracuse is a standard for me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Another team over my dead body would I ever root for Syracuse.
Always despise Syracuse. That's on my list of teams.
Duke, I will forever, ever
see,
hate.
I like Duke. It's one of my...
See, I teeter with Duke because so many people hate him, and I feel like I got to root for him.
But the thing that really annoys me about Duke is they have so many fans from around the country who have no even tangential relationship to the school whatsoever.
Well, I went on a recruiting trip there.
Okay.
So I actually saw a game there, so I have some
so
sort of connection.
You've been through the campus, so
yes,
therefore
I get to
root for Duke. I just... It's just such
you
an easy one to pick. It's like picking the Bulls in the 90s. Oh, yeah, they're my favorite team.
Notre Dame football is another one, which is a team that I cheer for. Damn, I cheer for probably some of the most insufferable colleges / fan bases in the world because I love Notre Dame. But that's a school where people have literally... I mean, how big is that school? Like 6,000? It's a small college.
Yeah.
Nobody goes there, but they have this one of the biggest fan bases in the country, even though they're
in the
stay.
World.
In the world.
Which is insane. And one of the reasons I always root against them, too. while I enjoy the pain of others' misfortune with this tournament, and it's everything that I love, you know, the sports schadenfreude aspect of it, last night's Celtics game, to me, was the perfect example of a game that you can occasionally watch. You know it's going to end badly, and you question why the hell you even bother as a sports fan. You could feel it coming after they blew this 20-point lead. Double overtime loss to the Wizards, 125-124. I do want to start Celtics here in this first hour because we've essentially done 12 straight hours of football talk over the last 3 days here in the show. I look at this game. I know, Jimmy Stewart, you were very active on social media last night. I don't think that there's any moral victory here. I don't care if they only had 9 players available. I don't care that basically every important player on this team was injured last night. You blow a 20-point lead. You can't hit a free throw to ice it, Jason Tatum. Shame on you. That's embarrassing. That loss last night, and especially with all the, oh my God, can you slow the game down anymore? Can you slow it down anymore with all the stupid replays towards the end of regulation and in overtimes? What a waste of my time. That was an embarrassing loss, and shame on the Celtics. Again, I don't care about the injuries. No moral victories. That game sucked.
What's the moral victory? I mean, you were a better team in the first half.
Oh, because everyone's hurt.
I mean, you have Jason Tatum, you have Morris, you have Monroe, who at some point, you know, was a top. I mean, you have guys that have played in this league that have had success. I mean, you're not rolling out like Phoenix or the Knicks or some of these teams that are rolling out basically a tanking team. I mean, there's talented on this roster, but you're the better team. I mean, the Wizards? I mean, I know they don't have John Wall, but that team, they stink.
They're
somebody
soft.
That
they
was sitting
stink.
In this very chair this morning couldn't stop with the moral victories. They never should have been in the game to begin with.
How do you figure
he said.
That?
So they never should have had a 20-point lead. It doesn't matter that they blew the 20-point lead because they never should have had it to begin with. I think it's a great moral victory, he said.
When Jimmy sent out the email and he made a good point about Stevens, how he was upset about the game, and he was right. And you wonder why, because that's a win. No matter which way you slice, they should have won it in regulation. They dominated the first half, crapped down their leg in the second half, but should have won it at the end of the regulation. Should have won it at the end of the first OT. And then you have a chance to win it, and they weren't well-oiled in terms of, you know, where were they going. They tried to get in the Morris, and then it went out to Tatum. But that game was winnable all through. At every point of that game, they should have won that game. So I don't buy the moral victory. The stuff that they did wrong, they didn't get beat. Physically, it wasn't they were outmatched talent-wise by Washington at all. It was just
no, they choked
Morris,
it away.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What? Let him dunk? I mean, how do you go in and try to stop? What, are you going to draw a charge with no time left in the clock up three? It's useless.
And credit to Scottie Brooks, too. He does call up a good play there, but Morris's defense
But it doesn't matter. You could be Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, rolled up in one. They need a three to tie. It doesn't matter what you should spread out
right,
to the three-point line. It's irrelevant. He gets too much credit. That's stupidity. That's why they scored. It wasn't that great of a play.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need a two to tie the game, great play. If Morris was forced to come inside and try to block, you pitch out three, you go for a win. But that right there, Morris had no reason to be there. You miss free throws. You know, Tatum doesn't follow up his last shot. You know, that game wasn't a lack of talent. And it wasn't a lack of, you know, they played hard, but just stupidity.
It was the inability to close.
That was a disappointing
loss.
You
realize that. Had that been a Celtics play that had tied the game, we'd never hear the end of how great Brad Stevens is with the grease board.
I believe it.
But, Jimmy, the floor...
I've seen it. I've lived it. I've heard it. I've argued against it. I think he's a good coach, but come on.
The floor is yours here for a couple of minutes, because I know this one drove you as nuts as it did.
I think
it would
be better if you just punched up the email and just read my vulgar, angry thoughts at 7 or 8 this morning.
All right. Well, I will do that coming up in the next segment because Jimmy Stewart, I think, rightfully very angry with last night's game. I don't think that there is much.
That was frustrating. 20 points and you kick it away.
And I can't take a moral victory out of this. If you want to be super positive, if you want to just like keep your head in the green clouds, like the most ardent.
The coach was pissed
team.
About this
yeah,
game.
Right. That's all you
the
need to
coach,
know.
The coach, Brad Stevens was upset about this. So I, as a fan, can't be upset about it?
No, you
the
should
The coach
be.
Is upset about it and verbalized it both to Abby Chen and in his post-game press conference. But I'm not allowed to be upset about a regular season loss to the Bullets.
Moral victory.
There's good things you can take
good
away from
him.
It. Outside of that last defensive
play
there.
What was the last time he did a game?
In regulation from Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris had a great night. I'd like to see more of that offensively from him. Greg Monroe looks like he's getting more and more comfortable with each game with this team.
Offensively. Defensively, train wreck.
Stiff.
Terry Rozier playing
he's
with some
He's a
confidence.
Hack. Thank you, Flynn.
There's some things you can take that's positive from this game. But overall...
Well, here's gross. The biggest thing in terms of the moral victory. It's not because you don't have Tice coming back, who's a big part of the rotation. Defensively, he is. And he plays a lot of energy and passion. Smart, it doesn't look good with his thumb if he's out for the year. So you have two guys legitimately that are in your rotation, your playoff rotation, that's going to be gone. With Irving with the knee, you don't know what you're going to do. He's looked awful the last couple of weeks. You know, defensively, not moving well. Not an abomination offensive, but not great. And I think that's because of the knee. You know, how bad is that? Is it a week off really going to help? Well, the NBA, hockey, right? These playoffs are brutal. You know, it's a long season. So this is your team. I mean, you'll get Jaylen Brown back. I think it'll be fine. So losing to a Wizards when you're up 20, a team that equivalent of what you would play in the playoffs, it's a bad loss. That's a winnable game. So if these guys can't figure out a way to do it, you know, I get it. Kyrie's a big horse coming back. You'll have Horford in the rotation, but they're going to be shorthanded the whole year.
And Jason Tatum, to me, here's a guy I've gone on record and say I would not include Jason Tatum in any trade for Anthony Davis. And as of right now, I'm still on that because I think that Jason Tatum has an incredible upside. I think he's going to be an excellent pro. But I'm starting to teeter a little bit. I'm sorry. I've seen it. now more than a few times that Jason Tatum.
No, Jim, you can't criticize the Jason Tatum because he's a rookie and he's only 20 years old. Can't do that. Can't bring up the fact that he's an 83% free throw shooter and he clanked one. Can't bring up the fact that he started 68 of a potential 68 games and playing 30 minutes a night. And you can't do it because he's a rookie. He's only 20. He's above all of our expectations. Hey. You were the third pick in the country, and Danny said he would have taken you first. I'm sorry. I have expectations for that. Make your free throw. Simple.
Jimmy's very angry. It's not even that play, too. That one drove me nuts. It's going for the three in the double overtime. Like, when you didn't need it. Like, he's just...
Who was on him? Who was that guy on him? The guy that's coming in for a wall? Budnowski or what's his name, Jimbo? You had him out by the three-point line, right? Morris, they had them spread. How do you not take one effort to try to get to the basket, right? Take him off the dribble. You athletically have this guy over you. This is what I love about Tatum.
You had a mismatch there. Right, Flynn.
So I question, did he not drive to the basket and try to get a foul because he was nervous about going to the line again and then gagging? Here's my thing. And, Jimmy, I still think the upside for Jason Tatum is tremendous. But what I'm starting to question is if he's special, because I was with you on this. This is why I wouldn't trade him for Anthony Davis. I think that he can be a legitimate superstar in this league in a couple of years. Yeah, these young guys are going to take growing pains. But I thought he could be special. I'm now starting to question that.
Well, here's what I love the 23 shots. I love the aggressive. I don't like the 9 makes. A couple went in and out on him. See, up until this point, I didn't have an issue with him in the fourth quarter. And this has probably changed in the last month because he hasn't played as good, but the team hasn't. But at one point in the year, and I hate plus and minus stats, you know, take it for what it's worth. But in the fourth quarter, he led the NBA, plus minus in the NBA, by far number. Chris Paul was number two at like 110. Jason Tatum was like 160, plus 160. Now that's a big spread against a very good basketball player. And I watched it. I saw that. I still think he has the ability to close. I don't think he turtles. Last night was not a good night. There was a lot of bad things. I just saw you mentioned he took that three, but he didn't follow up his shot either. That was a long rebound. You know, I get it. You got to get back in transition, but with 5 seconds left, you got to go get the ball.
Bradley Beal followed his missed shot.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what you do. That's what a good instinctive basketball player does.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Tatum's free throw. No good. Rebound volleyed around. Markieff Morris has it. Drives from three-quarters court. Throws it over the backboard. And naturally, because what other way could this game go? We're going to double overtime.
The shots don't bother me at all. Like, that's just part of the game. You know, at the end of the day, you control what you can control. He made a great play taking it to the basket. You know, I thought he did a lot of good things tonight. So, you know, there's no question. Jason Tatum at the free throw line is something that we all want.
You saw all the good and the bad of the 19-year-old kids playing in the NBA. I mean, Jason made some mistakes, but he had some great moments and has a wonderful, wonderful upside. And he's mentally tough and he's very versatile.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Mike Flynn in for the guys today. Celtics blow it to the Wizards in double overtime. 125-124 was the final at TD Garden last night. That was both head coach Brad Stevens and head of basketball ops Danny Ainge, who joined Tutcher and Rich this morning here in the Sports Hub, talking about Jason Tatum's frustrating night. At least it was frustrating to me, because I'm starting to teeter with this kid a little bit. Look, I get it. He's 20. Can't say he's only 19. He's 20 now. Even Danny Ainge got it wrong. I think there's an incredible upside with the kid. I think he's going to be an excellent pro, but I am starting to question what I thought about him from day one, that he can be special, that he is special, because, I don't know, when it comes to nut-cutting time, I feel like, in a game like last night, like, he just got tight. How do you not hit that free throw, Flynn?
You got to hit the free throw. There's no excuse for that. I mean, 19, 20, it's a free throw. An NBA player needs to hit free throws, and he missed one in, was it regulation, where he could have put him up by four. So we look at the one where he tied the game to win it. You hit that one, which is a lot less pressure. You know, it's kind of hit in between. You're up three. You know, you hit that when you're up four. They can't come back and win that game. So, no, there's no excuse. I don't care who you are. If you're in the NBA, you should hit free throws. And in those tight spots, yeah, you may miss some, but generally you're expected to make those. But this is what I was – my biggest problem with Tatum earlier was I questioned his aggressiveness. And he was very efficient, but – there were times where he had that killer attitude, and there was times in the fourth quarter. it may be in the second quarter, and it was there, and you're like, oh man, this is it. Like, this guy is going to be a corner of your franchise for a while. Then it would go away. Initially, you know, I blamed him, and then I started to blame Stevens. I'm like, you see what you have here. Why are we running this offense through Smart, or why are we giving touches to this guy, or give it to Horford? He's not going to shoot. Like, get Tatum involved. Then I went back to blaming, like, Tatum. I thought, like, okay, that could be the biggest problem. He could have all these tools, but if he's fine to be 15-6, I mean, we got those guys on the team now to be 15-6 and kind of do what you got to do. Like, that's how his future for this team to be really good is. No, he's a 24-9 guy every day, all day, and then all of a sudden he's hitting you for 35. Last night, and maybe it took, and I get it, you have Kyrie Irving, you have Horford, you have Jaylen Brown, who he's not a rookie, but it's his second year, and he's much more aggressive. We know Marcus Smart will shoot. That he kind of get lost, and he can get comfortable. I felt with those guys out, he was forced to be more aggressive. That's what I loved seeing last night. Now, the production wasn't there, which is disappointing, and I could give him a little slack. But, you know, he had some shots that, like I said, were good looks, went in and out. That happens. I think he could be a really good player. I do. I think he needs to get stronger. The missed free throws are disappointing, but I also seen him make a lot of big shots and free throws in the fourth quarter throughout the year. But when they're relying on, you know, when you can, you know, maybe it's that one shot you got to hit, or maybe hit a free throw now and then, and you can hide behind some other guys that will pick up the slack. But when basically you look in the floor, it's like him and Morris. You know, those were the guys they were going to. If you don't produce, if you don't connect, you don't hit that free throw or have that one, I think it was a turnaround jumper that went in and out. When you don't hit those, well, now all of a sudden they're amplified. Because that's your job. You're all they have.
Just because I think it's important that the homerism that can exist within this room be properly exposed, I will tell you that I learned driving in this morning that the missed free throw was good. It was good that he missed the free throw.
Who said this?
Why?
Because he's going to learn from it, and therefore he's going to hit it. No, hold on. He's going to hit it next time. So in this, an otherwise meaningless game,
on this station, you heard that?
That he missed, spoken
must have been Adam Jones
and spoken directly
positive.
Into this
so
microphone.
Was it Wallach saying this?
Oh,
name,
Wallach.
Names, Hook. Who was it?
John Wallach will tell you that it was good that he missed a pressure free throw because he's going to learn from that. It's part of his development, and he will hit it next time.
No, I'm sorry. I'm with Flynn
on
this.
It's a free throw.
If you're an NBA player, I get it. Some guys have a hitch. Some guys mentally can't do it. If you play in the NBA, you should hit every free throw, or 99.9% of them. Just like how I think in the NFL, even if they've moved it back, you should always hit your extra point, especially when you're inside.
No, you don't understand.
Like, you could
because,
be an absolute bum, and you should hit 70-something percent free throws.
In
These
the
guys
NBA,
that can't do that in the NBA, it's embarrassing. I don't
in the NBA, it. The hoop is higher, and the foul line is further back, so he needs to learn from that versus what he's been doing his
whole
life.
Here's what you could learn from, right? How to get open, how to use a pick, maybe when you're playing a good defender and the refs don't. Like, there's all these little subtleties, I guess, in a close game that you could say, well, he could learn from that. Or, you know what? I had a mismatch. I got to take advantage of not missing a free throw. What do you...
He's going to learn from that, and he's going to hit it next time. Guys, I don't understand what you don't understand about
it. I don't. I'm sorry. I wish I could. I want to believe.
Well, win the game. Don't blow a 20-point lead.
Let's hear from you on last night's game. Again, so frustrating, too, and just enough with the replays. Look, the guy who's normally here, if you listen to the show with any regularity, you know how Mike Felger feels about replay, and I agree 100%.
But has it ruined basketball?
Oh, God.
I can't even believe it's more than basketball now.
More than any other sport. Like, it drives me nuts in all of them, but really, when it's just like that, and it slows it down to a crawl and starts to really kill the product like it did last night. Like, in the NBA, it might be the worst. When you get it like that, especially at the end of regulation, it's like, oh, come on! Like, let's go! So your thoughts on this game last night, 617-779-0985. We'll start off with Tariq in Boston. You're first up here on Felger and Mass today. Hey!
How's it going, guys?
Tariq, what's up, buddy?
Not too much. I'm not into moral victories, you know, any more than the next guy, but you know, what do you expect? How many opportunities have these guys had to be in the position where Morris and Jason Tatum had to close a game this year? You know, this is the first time this year it's been somebody other than Kyrie, Al, you know, even Marcus Smart. So they're going to look like bums sometimes. It's not a moral victory. That's how you grow. You fall, you skin your knee, and you either stay down or you get up. I think that the more he sees those opportunities, the better he'll think in those situations. That three was worse than the free throw. There was no need for the three. If you know what the score is, you know you're down by one. The shots that he hit all game were the two dribbles to the hoop. Either he laid it up or he had that short mid-range jumper that was money all night. Go to what was working. Your toolkit is great. You can expand out to the three, but you didn't need it. You had a guy that couldn't stay with you. You're a long strider. You could have got by him in two dribbles and took any shot you wanted. He got to learn. That's it. That's all I got
to
say.
All right, Tariq. Appreciate the phone call. Again, we'll continue to take your calls on the Celtics here. We'll do a lot of NFL free agency stuff with Mike Flynn here, who I barely get to work with. I mean, it's only been once. Obviously, I want to pick your brain about what's going on with the Pats and all that. But spending this first hour on the Celtics, and coming up, an update on the injury status of Marcus Smart, whether or not he's going to return for the Celtics playoff run. And overall, I want to know, Mike Flynn, like what you feel about this team with all these injuries. Like, has your expectation changed with the Celtics and this upcoming playoff run? We'll do that right after the Hub headlines here with Marshall Hook on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupable.
And Mazz.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
My understanding is that he has a torn tendon, and he's going to get a second opinion, but not necessarily to verify or corroborate what this initial injury is. They're looking to see if there's a way that Marcus Smart can get back on the floor sooner rather than later. And again, you're talking about a torn tendon, and Marcus Smart, the way he plays, the all-out hustle effort play, the idea that he will be playing with a torn tendon should not shock anyone. How effective he'll be, that's a different story. I think for Marcus, he's got to think long and hard about whether this is the wisest course of action, considering, one, you're in a contract year. Two, how effective are you going to be in terms if you know that you're physically limited to some degree? And three, is that really the best thing for the team? So there's a lot of factors that are going to come into play before a decision is made on his status.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Guys off today once again. So you have Big Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair with Mike Flynn in for Mazz. Marshall Hook alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. Talking Celtics here in the first hour. That's A'Sherrod Blakely of NBC Sports Boston with the gloomy outlook on Marcus Smart's injury. You were just saying as you were listening to the clip, ooh, tough injury. You're a former professional athlete. I mean, even if he came back with that.
Well, shooting hand, right? I guess it's... well, he's not a great shooter to begin with. I mean, obviously, what makes him... What's appealing from his
best attribute is
behind side shooting. Yeah, defense, rebounding, toughness, grit, which, and I know it was a short sample size when he was out. You know, the team didn't quite have that energy, that passion, and certainly he's part of it. The team was kind of in a lull, too. But
at their best defensively, like they frustrate and annoy.
Yes, and he's the guy that gets under your skin.
He's the glue to all of that. You saw without him during that stretch before the All-Star break, they didn't have any of that.
So that's his effect, which certainly you can do with a hurt thumb. But, you know, you still need to dribble. I mean, you see, you know, we talked about at the end of games, how many times is it him and Kyrie running a two-man game? So the guy's part of the offense. And he doesn't shoot well, but you have to shoot. Like, if he has trouble getting up there and shooting, I don't know how bad it is. I mean, I don't know what tendon it is. I've torn something on my finger, and I couldn't open my thumb. You know, so obviously if you can't open your thumb, you're going to lose the ball out of bounds. How effective can he dribble? It's his... You know, shooting hand. So there's a lot of factors. I mean, if he gets to the point where his agent said, listen, you should get the surgery, you know, it could affect your contract status, then it's done. And I don't blame him. You know, I don't blame him. I understand because you have a future, you need to get paid. But I also think he's a guy that if he can play, he would. So I don't know what rehab does it. I think the rehab would be more along the lines of like keeping the inflammation down and some of the pain. But certainly, it's a big loss. I thought Tice was a big loss. I mean, it's not the end of the world losing Tice, but I certainly think, you know, his versatility on defense. And I just like when he comes out, like, things happen.
Oh, I
happen.
Think that's a hit to them.
It is.
Like, we don't get to talk about the
it
bench
is energy,
here.
Yeah. It is passion, it is blocked shots, it's going to the ground. Like, those guys have value because you can't expect Kyrie Irving and some other guys do that for 40 minutes. You need guys like Tice to come in for 15 and do that and kill themselves.
So overall, have your expectations for this team changed? What with all these injuries, if Smart's out? Because I'll tell you, for me, if Smart's out and Smart can't contribute in the playoffs, like what I thought was going to be a deep run, I thought they were the best team in the East. Despite some dips, I still think that they were good enough to be able to get to the finals. Like if Smart's not there, I think if they get two rounds, they'd be lucky.
It does change a lot for me. Just two rotational guys because, you know, who you're going to. Now you got Semi Ojeleye, who's not bad, but he's not ready. You know, you could see he's got the bones of this awesome defender like Jay Crowder, but kind of good. And then
nice subtle shot
at Jay Crowder. And then Monroe, who offensively he does some good things, but I never thought he would be more than like a bit guy in the playoffs. Like if a matchup arises or there's some, you know, a you know, short time injury or a minutes thing. But, you know, who's he guarding for a lot of these teams? I mean, he's just not a great defender. So those are two big guys in the rotation. So I thought, I'm like you. I don't know why I wasn't, I'm not, you know, a green teamer in the brain. I just thought, like, I don't think the Cavs are all that good. I really don't. They got the best player in the world. So in basketball, it means a lot. I mean, that's everything. That guy could just, you know, wave his hand and, you know, oh, it's all over now. It's
I also don't care.
It's 5 points either way. And in Toronto, I don't believe they've had their run, man.
Yeah.
They're always there. And if you look at them, DeRozan and Lowry and those guys, when they get to the playoffs, it's like,
they got a great bench.
Do it.
They're
great
at home.
I want to see them do it in playoffs.
But
that's all.
There is
they're good.
Institutionalized gutlessness with the Toronto Raptors come playoff time.
You just, like,
I do not believe.
Like, your, what is it, like, your class was like, the Chiefs are in that.
Oh,
crew,
the Chiefs,
like
the Falcons,
the Vikings.
Yeah, there's teams that, you know,
I get a little bit with that Toronto because it's not like this is now. They may, I guess, maybe from top to bottom, this could be their best team. But over the last 10 years, it's not like they've been god awful. I mean, they've had some other good teams. They just don't do anything with it.
Yeah,
you know. So I wasn't sold to them. So and I my feelings are the rest of the East. I mean, I thought they legitimately could make a run. I think if they get back, say Smart can play, even if it limits in some of the things he can do. I mean, you know, the way it's shaping out, you may not even see, you know, a team to the Eastern Finals, and then who knows what happens then. I mean,
it's been a sobering couple of weeks for this team, unfortunately, because I thought we were going to get.
Well, I mean,
June.
This idea of losing in the first round, if that happens, no way.
Even if all these guys are injured, that's a massive disappointment.
I don't care who it is.
No, there's
and
no excuse.
And honestly, if it shakes out that they get a Wizards or Pacers in the second round, unacceptable. I would accept losing to Toronto only because I think they're a good team. And I would accept losing to the Cavs. Other than that, and then obviously but at that point, if you get to a finals, you're playing Golden State, it's like, well.
But Sixers, Pacers, Bucks, like any of the other teams.
Nothing, no,
like,
unacceptable.
Please, no, it would be. Matthew in Framingham, you're next year on Felger and Mass. Hey.
Hey, guys. So Larkin looked good last night. So now that we get the pros out of the way, let's talk about this game. Marcus Morris, for all the points he scored, he made up a lot of the point production. What are you doing? The guy at the end of the game going to dunk? And he goes to block the dunk and leaves the perimeter guy open for the three. Had he stayed on his man, they're down three. What's a dunk going to do? Let him dunk it. And the guy obviously had the plan to pass it, so he just would have been stuck in the air with the ball, and he would have had nowhere to pass it. But no, Marcus Morris bit the veteran. Okay, so that was great. And then Jason Tatum, you know, he showed some balls, got, you know, went to the hoop, got the and one, and, you know, the kid got nervous. Missed it. You know, I can let that go. But then at the end of the second overtime, why? Down one. Why are you going for the three? When he was dribbling the ball, he had the defender on his heels. He could have blew right past him, got the two, game over. And another thing, all these reviews at the end of the game.
Oh, it's brutal, Matthew.
It's killing the game. They need to do something like the NFL. They both get two challenges that equal timeouts or something and use it that way. You know, there was something like that because it's killing the game. It's hard enough to watch it all the time out.
I mean, it's hard enough watching it at home. If you were in the building last night, I got to feel like you ran a marathon by the end of that thing.
Like, well, then they review like certain fouls now. Like, is it a head?
Oh.
You know, like flagrant one. Like,
so stupid.
There was a game this year. I forget the Celtics. They must have reviewed like five of them in the second half. I mean, it was brutal and drag everything out. Like. I mean, the flagrant fouls, like, is the guy bleeding? Like, I mean, it's unbelievable that they review those now.
Did you guys hear the collective groan when the first overtime ended and Eddie Palladino went, more overtime? Oh.
He's right, though, about Morris's defense. Because Morris, to me, was like the
dude, he was a minus 13 last. I was checking the box score, and I told Jim and I were talking about, he was a minus. He scored 31 points, and you're minus 13.
Isaiah Thomas is jealous of that box score.
Yeah, I mean, he was offensively a stud for them last night, but what happened there with 5.5 seconds left, you know you're down, you know that the Wizards are down three. He leaves Meeks wide open for that. Like, know the score, dude.
That's
like,
worse than the missed free throw. I agree with the caller.
Oh,
I do.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know.
It's pretty simple. Everyone on that team should have been planted outside in the perimeter. You know what the score is. You know they need a three.
I don't even understand why you just don't play. Like, here's the worst. Like, if you just, you don't, the worst case here, okay, say for some way he gets the pass over you. This guy, Meeks, is still shooting a highly contested three on a catch and shoot because that ball's going to be a floater to get over Morris. You're right. That is, I think that may be worse than, I hate guys that can't hit free throws. And not granted, that was a pressure situation, so it's a different context to it. But I don't have a lot of sympathy for NBA guys who can shoot free throws. But I think that may be worse.
But everything that that caller just broke down, including, you know, Morris's terrible defense there towards the end of regulation, like, this is why I can't say it's a moral victory last night. They lost because of stupidity. And you blew a 20-point lead.
Not because of talent. Not because they didn't have the horses to win that game. It was stupidity.
Well, and the Bullets were on the second night of a back-to-back.
Oh, that even makes it worse.
And they're not that good.
No, they're not.
They're really not that good.
We'll continue to take your Celtics calls here on Felger and Mass. Bruins road trip continues tonight. Their injuries keep piling up. We'll give you the latest on Zdeno Chara and Jake DeBrusk. Next, here in our long commercial-free segment, it's Big Jim Murray and Mike Flynn in for Felger and Mass.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mass.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha, hee-hee. Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
1:40 remaining in regulation. Bruins up by a goal. Right side at center ice. Here's Pastrnak. Shoots. He scores! David Pastrnak from the right side at center ice. Reached a checkered line. And that's the hat trick for Pastrnak. As the Bruins fans start chucking him onto the ice, the Boston Bruins with a 6-4 lead in Carolina, a staggering comeback.
There's some maturity there, right? Guy knows he made a mistake. He didn't want to let the team down, so he worked hard to do what he could to get us back in the game, and obviously did a lot. It was a great little give and go with Marshy, that third goal, and then the power play goal was a bomb over there. So we needed all of them.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 is Sports Hub. No Felger, no Maz once again today. So you got Big Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair with Mike Flynn in Maz's seat. Marshall Hook alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. That was Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy on David Pastrnak's big night on Tuesday against the Carolina Hurricanes. Tonight, Bruins back on the ice against the Florida Panthers. 7:30 puck drop right here in the Sports Hub with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. Cassidy also confirming today. So the bad that came out of that win over the Panthers the other night is that, the Hurricanes rather. Zdeno Chara, Jake DeBrusk, and Torey Krug all hurt. And Bruce Cassidy confirming today, Chara, DeBrusk not going to play tonight. They won't play Saturday against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Flynn, you and I barely get to work with each other ever, and I don't see all that much either. What have you thought about the Bruins? Do you want them getting the President's Trophy? Do you look at this and you hear this news and be like, okay, Chara's going to be out. He's not going to play Saturday. Damn it, we're not going to be able to catch the Lightning. Ah, or you're like me, you're happy that they're set at the 2 seed. You don't really got to worry about home ice against Toronto, and you don't want the albatross of that stupid President's Trophy, because most times it seems like the team that wins it ends up getting skunked in the first or second round.
Yeah, I don't like the President's Trophy. I don't know how realistic it would be to catch Toronto. It's not my concern, as long as they're playing well, which they are. But, you know, they're going to have to play through division. The key is, are they good enough to beat, or not catch Toronto, catch Tampa. Are they good enough to beat Tampa? And, you know, if you're hurt and guys are, you know, we have Bergeron, there's the way they've played and putting up points. They're kind of solidified in that 2 spot. There's no need to bring them back. I don't know with McAvoy how long it's going to be. And with Chara and those guys, you can't push them, because I think this team has something special going on. I don't know about you. It's talent. It's this blend of youth and these veterans, you know, and it's just, I don't know, that's corny, but just the feel about them, like the way they win.
There's no other way to say it.
Mental toughness, I guess.
Without sounding kind of corny. I said
grittiness.
After those last consecutive Thursday games against Pittsburgh and the Flyers in the building, there's an it factor with this team. The 8-4 game against Pittsburgh, like, I get it. They had a hack goalie in there, and you know they ended up having to put in a third stringer towards the end of the game, but there's an it factor with this team. I've expected a deep run. After that night, I was like, okay, I'm not going to be shocked that this team ended up even going to the finals and won the damn thing.
No. So I think to push guys to, you know, to win the division and, you know, beside President's Trophy aside, I don't know if you really need that. I mean, you know who you have to play anyway. But if they're hurt and Chara needs a rest anyway. And I saw that Chara, I don't know if you saw that, about how he's so anti, like, resting a little bit, and I understand.
Oh, he's in a nice groove this whole season.
But what's 2 or 3 minutes a game, which could alleviate some hits on you? But man, the guy is just like a machine. Which, you know, I don't know, for him to miss a game, he's got to be pretty banged up. But to me, I don't think it matters. I really don't. I think they're good enough to beat anybody right now. And if guys are hurt, you know, obviously if you're fighting for the wild card or trying to like get out of the wild card so you can jump up into the top three, you know, well, that'd be different. If a guy's banged up a little bit, like, hey, can you go? Like, this is like a playoff game. Get in there. That's different. But now they've won without these guys, and they may struggle a little bit, but you can't push Char, and you can't push, certainly can't push Bergeron and stuff like that. So,
and McAvoy, too.
And
right?
That's one I'm a little bit more concerned about. That seems, you know, you sprain your knee and young kid. See, how's he going to come back and learn how to play with that in this playoff environment?
I said a few days afterwards, I didn't see him on crutches. I didn't hear the word tear, so I'm trying to be positive about that one. I think he'll be able to come back for the playoffs.
And you know,
is he going to be close to 100%? No, but who is at this time of the year?
No, and he was in the playoffs last year, which I think is invaluable in terms of, like, getting his mind right. You know, he's not...
Yeah, he threw him right in the fire. He was fantastic.
You know, it's not like a kid who hurts his knee, like, 3 weeks before the playoffs, and you're opening up against, I don't know who they're going to play right now, opening up. Toronto
would be the first round.
You know, and that's the first time you've ever been in the NHL playoffs and you have a banged up, you know, semi banged up knee. That's a little different scenario. I think you can deal with that. But yeah, I mean, that's the hand Cassidy's dealt. He's pushed all the right buttons. And Sweeney, too. I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, Sweeney, what he's touching is gold. Like, it just feels like there's a run coming here, which, you know, we talked about the Celtics and expectations. I would have never guessed I'd be sitting here and having this kind of feeling positive and this kind of run with this team, but it just seems like every button they push works. So at this point, I wouldn't push Char, and Cassidy knows that. They wouldn't do that, but there's no need to get those guys back because they'll still find a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is obviously going to take a hit, same with that penalty kill without Char. So that does suck to hear he's going to be out for the weekend, but all right, rest him up, have him ready for the playoffs. But man, it feels gloomy with both of these teams, the Celtics and the Bruins recently, with all these injuries and how they're stacking up. I guess if I'm also trying to be positive with the Chara injury, at least you didn't hear Cassidy say anything ominous today in terms of, well, indefinitely, we'll recheck in a couple of weeks. Just sounds like it's a few games for now, and hopefully he'll be back sooner than later. But talked most of this hour about the Celtics and that hideous loss to the Wizards last night. I'm sorry. I don't care that they had a short bench, or nine players available, rather, and you know everybody's hurt. You're up 20, you blow that game. You had a chance to win it, but Morris plays terrible defense with 5 seconds to go, and then Tatum can't hit a free throw. I'm sorry, it's inexcusable. You should not have lost that game. Your thoughts. Bob in Marlboro, you're next here on the Celtics game last night. Hey.
Yeah, Mara, this is Bob. Hey, I was talking about the game last night. Tatum, Brown didn't play, but Tatum and Brown have trouble with their first shot and their foul shot. He rushed it. He didn't want to shoot it with pressure on. Steve's got to tell him, take your time on your first shot. They're rushing their first shots. On the play-in with 5.5 seconds to go, the second thing, okay, why didn't you foul him? The first one, when the guy was driving in the hole before he pitched the ball back.
All right, well, it sounds like Bob's putting some blame on Brad Stevens. I think Jack wants to do the same thing. Jack in Niagara Falls, hello.
Yeah, I agree with that last caller. 5.5 seconds, you're up three. You foul them and let them throw, two foul shots. Golden State did it against us, and so did Houston. And Kyrie, you know, made the first foul shot. You know how hard it is to miss the second foul shot? And I can't believe he didn't foul.
Well, they started that whole sequence with, like, what, about 12 seconds left. I think Gorman brought it up, said, like, you know, they have a foul to give. And... you know, there is, I mean, as a basketball player, right, you have to have that, all right, you don't want the ball thrown and you foul, because what's the point? You're giving up a second. You have to pick your spots, right, when you're going to give it up. But you have the advantage where, you know, they need a three. So even that first sequence, they end up, I forget who shot the three, but was way off and end up going out of bounds. Okay, so they missed that. But they had plenty of time to foul somebody, you know, within a second or two of the throw-in, which makes a good point. Now,
yeah, you know,
I don't know the scenario that plays out. They're certainly going to run a different play, but yeah, that's usually at some point from that 12 seconds you use that foul.
It's easy to second. I think that's so easy to second guess today.
It still should come down to the play. It's, you know, you have to time that up. That second go around, if you get in, if you foul with about 2.5 seconds, it certainly makes it a lot more difficult for the Wizards. There's no doubt. But with all that said, with everything said. Just let the guy dunk.
And it's the whole thing.
Just let him dunk.
Last night, inexcusable. And put, like, if you really want to put that loss on Brad Stevens, I'm sorry. No. The guy was playing his end of bench guys, and they were getting ridiculous minutes. The hell you want him to do? You want him to suit him up and play guard, too? Like, I don't
understand. Like that, yes, because everybody says he's so good. He should be able to play 12th man if you're that short on the bench.
Morris defends that three. They win. Tatum hits that free throw. They win. It's that simple. It's on the players. Brad Stevens, please. Come on. And now I sound like you, Jimmy. We'll continue to take your
Yeah, I didn't like one of his grease board plays at the end of one of the overtimes.
Oh, even Jay Stu turning on Brad Stevens.
Turn
wow.
is a little strong.
someone doesn't want those fancy seats anymore at the Garden for those Celtics games.
No, too. I'm good there.
All right, we'll continue to take your Celtics calls. You want to talk about last night's hideous loss. We've talked a bit about the Bruins as well. And again, Zdeno Chara and Jake DeBrusk out tonight and Chara out through the weekend. So if you want to weigh in on that, 617-779-0985 with Mike Flynn in. We obviously got to talk a lot about the Patriots and the NFL offseason, which kicked off yesterday. Not much of a bang so far with the Pats, so we'll talk about the loss of Nate Solder and all the other names, like Danny Amendola, Deion Lewis, and some of the names that have been attached to this team over the last 24 hours as well. Coming up right after the Hub headlines here with Marshall Hook, it's Felger and Mass here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.